This is the EWN Radio Network.
Welcome to Finding Hope on the EWN Radio Network with Counselor Mandy Epley, where you will learn practical tools for navigating your losses and hear inspiring real-life stories from courageous people who have moved through their losses and found hope. And now, your host, Counselor Mandy.
Welcome to Finding Hope. I am your host, Counselor Mandy Bird. I am with you all today with a really neat woman. I'm excited for you all to meet her. That's Rebecca Nagy, and we're going to hear Rebecca's powerful story today, her work in the world, and we're also going to be talking about Shift Charlotte, which is coming to Charlotte, North Carolina in March, which we both happen to be speakers at. So I'm super honored that Rebecca is with us today. Hey, Rebecca.
Hey, Mandy. It's just an honor to be here. Thank you.
Hey there, and as always, I love to give a shout out to my dear friend and producer of Finding Hope, Cindy Bolero. Hey there.
Hello.
Will you do the honors and introduce our guest today?
I certainly will. Reverend Rebecca Nagy is the spiritual leader of the Spiritual Light Center of Charlotte, which was formerly the Unity Center for Spiritual Living. She is a non-denominational minister, graduating from Sancta Sophia Seminary in 1996 and ordained through Light of Christ Community Church. She is an award-winning wedding officiant, meditation teacher, spiritual counselor, and author of the popular CD, Instant Calm. Rebecca is also one of the featured speakers at Shift Charlotte this year, teaching her classic Dream State University. So welcome to the show, Rebecca. Thanks. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yes, I love all the fascinating things that you're doing, and I'm really looking forward to learning more about your work today. So, Rebecca, the way we start Finding Hope is asking this powerful question to all the incredible leaders and guests we've had on the show, and that is, if you will share with our listening friends, what is one of the great heartbreaks that has occurred in your journey, and how has that catapulted you towards your calling?
Well, it's it went back about 20-some years ago. I was what I considered at the height of my fashion design career. I was actually the senior designer at Kmart International, designing Jacqueline Smith.
That's so cool.
I really loved it. Oh, gosh, I love my fashion business. I just did. But I had a spinal injury. Mm. And after my second surgery, which was a spinal fusion, I found out a few years later, or year later really, that the damage that had been done to my left leg was permanent. And I would be encased in a leg brace for what they told me was the rest of my life. Mm. And such a big part of being a fashion designer that maybe people don't know about is shopping. You have to shop. You have to shop till you drop. You go, I went all over the world. Before I really realized that it was really truly going to be permanent, I accepted a job. I wanted to come back to the South. I'm a Southern girl. And I accepted a job here in Charlotte that moved me here. It was great. And it was during the move process that I did find out that, you know, the damage was permanent. Mm. So I didn't tell anybody because I just accepted this new job. It was really great. I was be going all over the world again. And but you know what? As the universe would have it, I had also just graduated from seminary and just been ordained. And I kept saying to God, in my golden years, I will do this. I will do it later. Well, you know what they say, never tell God what you're going to do because he'll just laugh at you. And he was just hysterically laughing my whole move down here. And the job that I accepted was literally the worst job I had ever had in my entire life. I was treated badly. I was disrespected. I came home every night and cried. And it was a big job. I mean, it was a divisional merchandise manager job. I was in product development. And I remember one morning I got ready to leave for work, and I was opening my car door. I said, well, another day, another meeting.
Mm.
I went, oh, girl, what
yeah.
are you doing? So I went in that day, and I just bought a house.
Mm-hmm.
I thought I'd been betrayed by God because here it is. I was doing God's work in part time, right? Spare time
mm-hmm.
stuff. And I thought, gosh, you know, what's the deal? But I knew I couldn't continue down that painful path without probably having a heart attack or something because the stress was so bad and my pain, my emotional pain was so bad.
Mm-hmm.
So I came home. I slept for 2 weeks. And then the phone rang with my dream job. And I thought, oh, but I just made a decision the night before that I was going to do my spiritual work.
Mm-hmm.
I knew I could speak. I had spoken before at conferences and things. I thought, I'm going to do my ministry. I'm going to go ahead and go out there and start speaking at churches. And so the headhunter that had been working with me for years said, are you crazy? And I said, no, you know what? I'm getting ready to turn 50, and if I don't do it now, I will always wonder, what if?
Mm-hmm.
So I literally jumped off a cliff. I didn't know how the mortgage was going to get paid. I only have myself and the two cats, and they don't work much, don't bring a lot of money. So I did it, and that was back in 1998.
Mm-hmm.
And I still have my house. And it's been a journey of releasing my one dream to see a new dream unfold because I loved being a fashion designer. I loved being in the fashion business. It was my dream since I was 7. And then all of a sudden, when I got ordained, I started to lose interest in it.
Mm-hmm.
Ordination is a sacrament. That's just like marriage or baptism, whatever. And even as a non-denominational minister, I really understood that it was more like an initiation
mm-hmm.
and that you are changed when something like that, it's a passage of life. It's
mm-hmm.
it's a gateway. And so I thought, you know, what do you want me to do? So I started speaking at churches here in Raleigh and Durham and Chapel Hill. And one Sunday, I was here at one of the churches. They're all New Thought churches. And this woman came up to me after my sermon, and she said, Reverend Nagy, do you do weddings? And I said, well, yeah, I can. I hadn't done any at that point. She just happened to be the associate publisher of Carolina Bride magazine.
Oh, cool.
I know. And I thought, oh, I didn't know there was such a thing as being a wedding minister. Right? So I kept doing my classes. I started doing weddings, which was sustaining me financially. And then a wonderful facility opened, I don't know if you remember it, called Phoenix Rising.
Yeah.
And it was my opportunity to start my Sunday services. So I got a charter from my seminary and started a branch of the church and seminary here. I called it New Directions. And so that went on for many years, and I was happy. You know, I did that. I did my weddings. And then they closed, and then every time I would go to a place to do my services, they would close. So I said, okay, God, are you
mm-hmm.
kidding me?
mm-hmm.
What is it that you want me to do? So I just did weddings for a few years. And then a wonderful young man that I had had the opportunity to be a spiritual teacher for was in town. And somebody, I heard through the grapevine that somebody said to him, he was telling them that I had been his spiritual teacher. And they said, oh, you mean the woman that does weddings? I went, oh. What's wrong with this picture? That's
mm-hmm.
not what God wanted you to do, just weddings.
Mm.
And just about that time, my father passed away.
Mm.
And I also had a couple other financial losses that really set me on my you-know-what.
Mm-hmm.
And I was at my daddy's funeral, and it was in Texas. And I was speaking to him. I said, Daddy, you know, what do you think? What am I supposed to do? I know God didn't want this to be. And I could hear it really clearly. Excuse me.
Yeah.
And he said, do what God wants you to do. You know what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and you know, I've never told anybody that. Thanks a lot, Mandy. but anyway, so I came back, and 2 weeks later was talking to a friend of mine who I told her, I said, I need to get back, and even if I have to start the church in my living room, I'm going to do this again. Mm-hmm. I know I'm supposed to be teaching what I was taught, which is a more inclusive message,
mm-hmm.
not about religion, but about finding God in the way that you need to find God.
Yeah.
So a few days later, she calls me. She says, you know, I've always known you were good at manifesting. But she said, our minister literally just walked out this Sunday. And it was the Unity Center for Spiritual Living.
Mm.
And I went, oh, really? She goes, you know, she says, sometimes I think you're a witch. So, I said, no. It's you voice to the universe what it is that you are willing to do. Not just wanting, but willing. And then you have to surrender it and let the universe orchestrate it.
Mm.
And the interesting thing was, I'm a non-denominational minister. I'm not a Unity minister. And the congregation didn't know whether they wanted someone that was specifically Unity or not.
Mm-hmm.
But then as we got to know each other and I went over there to speak for a while, we realized that, yeah, we really loved each other. And they asked me to be their senior minister and spiritual leader.
Wow.
So it's been 2 years. It will be the third year, actually March. This March, March 9th will be my start of my third year there and my 20th anniversary of being ordained.
Wow.
I know.
That's so great. Story, Rebecca.
Yeah,
I mean, there's so much to say about your story, but I want to point out for our listening friends that it's really, you know, sometimes when we go for a dream, when you were young and early in your career, it was your dream since you were 7 to be in the fashion industry.
Yeah.
And you landed I remember when the Jaclyn Smith line came out. I remember what a big deal that was.
Mm-hmm.
And that I think it's so important that we stay open around how our dreams change and how they evolve.
Yeah.
Because sometimes I think we get so attached that we think, if I stay, you know, what's wrong? This was my dream. You know, what's wrong that I'm not staying true to my dream, or were I misled was I misled? And I think your story is there's many things to say about it, but the one thing that popped out to me immediately is about how to give ourselves permission to evolve, to give ourselves permission to follow our heart. That our dreams do evolve and that we manifest one and then we're led to the next and the next and the next. And we'll talk more about that when we come back with Rebecca and hear more about her story and her work in the world. Stay with us. We'll be back.
I'm looking for a certain kind of woman, and I think you know her. She's an entrepreneur that is highly connected, successful, significant in her own industry, and considered the go-to woman in her community. She's received so much from so many women in business, she's ready to give back to others on their journey, lifting as she climbs. Hi, this is Sandra Yancey, and I'm the founder and CEO of eWomen Network. I'm looking to connect with the woman I've just described who lives in your community so that we might have a conversation about how eWomen Network's proven success system can provide her a platform to elevate her success and ability to support women in business. Our international community of managing directors are influencing the speed of success for women in business around the world. If that sounds like something that you want to be part of or know someone we should talk with, send an email to managingdirector@ewomennetwork.com. That's managingdirector@ewomennetwork.com, and let's start the conversation.
Friends of eWomen Network, I want to share with you two cutting-edge and soul-stirring books by author and visionary Chris Saadi. Both are highly recommended by a host of spiritual teachers, such as Kate Sheehan Roach and Andrew Harvey. These books focus on the emergence of an evolutionary spiritual understanding. That is, the importance and the power of living authentically, freeing our authentic, unique self, and pursuing our calling from our authentic passion to serve freedom, peace, justice, and inclusion. These two books are Second Wave Spirituality and Prayers for Peace and Justice by Chris Saade, S-A-A-D-E. Saade is on Amazon.com and the Olive Branch Center.net.
Welcome back to Finding Hope. I'm your host, Counselor Mandy Bird, and today I'm speaking with Reverend Rebecca Nagy and talking about her story. It's such a catchy way that Rebecca speaks about it, from fashion to faith, and what that whole story was about. And Rebecca, I am so touched by how you have led your life going for your dreams, going for your passion, whether it was about the fashion industry or it's been about service through your ministry. And I also want to say that it's pretty amazing to me how, and for our listening friends, I always like to say that though the details of Rebecca's life and her story may be very different from your own, to really pay attention to how she moved through the loss of this incredible spinal injury and the physicality, that change, that loss that happened, and how you then listened to your heart and followed your desire to manifest a new dream, and that that's possible for each of us and for each of you. What's so many main keys around that is that we get support and that we have people that are cheering us on and to reach out for the help that we deserve. So, Rebecca, I want to ask you, tell me about this. What in the world led you to start this path around being ordained?
Well, I guess it can go back to my early years, being raised a Catholic girl. I've always been very devotional, and as my mother wrote in a letter to me, I always had invisible friends. And now I realize that they were angelic kingdoms and my guides and teachers, you know, on the inner planes. But from a very young time, I've always been interested in the paranormal, the mystical, the unseen. And it kind of carried me through. When I was living in New York and going all over the world, I always was interested in the religion of whatever country, whether it was Hong Kong and the Buddhists, or I always was interested. And the more I delved into other religions, the more I couldn't wrap my head around that there was only one path, that if you weren't Catholic, you were going to hell. That was ridiculous, because I knew more good people that weren't Christian than, you know, as many Christians as were. So I was actually designing sweaters for a company called Marissa Christina. I was living in New York, and I had my first trip to Hong Kong. And when you're in these trips, even though you're the designer, you're also the buyer. So you're always in these meetings at the factories, and I was sitting there listening to them negotiating a penny, you know, off the price. And I wasn't really part of the conversation, so I happened to look out, and they had a big picture window that looked onto the factory floor. And I saw all these Oriental people, mostly women, with their heads bent, sewing. And I saw, all of a sudden, it struck me that we were arguing over a penny that would affect their lives. That in our greed, they might not take home enough for a meal that day. And I was just, it was like this thunderbolt. And I thought, where is our spirit? Where is our soul? And that was kind of like the seed. It just, it hit me at that moment. And I started to just read and study, and I had my first spiritual teacher, consequently, in New York City. And I found a stream of teachings called Esoteric Christianity, or the Ancient Wisdom Teachings. And it just made so much sense to me. It was not about religion. It was about looking at the great teachers that God or the universe had sent from the beginning of time to give us the next step in the message, the next evolutionary piece of how to be spiritually at one with not this great being out there, but with one another.
Wow.
And that we all had divine DNA, and our big mission, and this is a recent, probably in the last 15 years, realization, is that if we have divine DNA, then we are co-creators with God.
Mm-hmm.
And we are responsible for creating. Our biggest urge is to create, right? I mean, if we don't create, we die.
Absolutely.
And so that is what really led me to my mission of teaching people meditation, going within, finding their oneness with a greater power that doesn't have to do with anyone else's truth, but finding their own. And
love it. Absolutely love it. I really honor your courage to, because we are so about that on Finding Hope, inspiring people to follow authentic voice within their own hearts and to trust it. And I love your leadership in paving the way to inspire others to find their own truth, to design their own relationship with the divine, and to trust that sacred heart that's been placed within each of us. And you know, one of the things that touches me so much about your story, it's truly a story of justice. That when you saw the oppression and injustice and these Asian women's lives, you know, you made a choice of, man, I can't participate in this piece. I have to help people connect with their authentic voice and with the power that lives in them. And so that is some super inspiring stuff, lady. And what is really amazing is how when we get turned on to our authentic calling, that we're willing to pay any price.
Yeah.
And that I see that in your story too, as you're talking about as you went on through the years, and each time you'd begin a church it would close, and you know, the different challenges that you had. It certainly hasn't been skipping down Snowflake Candy Cane Lane, has it?
No, and you know what? That's not how we grow.
That's right.
If we don't have some kind of thing to aim for, to pull towards us, to look at, a challenge, then we don't have the opportunity to really go deeper within ourselves.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
thank you for that statement and that wisdom, because, again, that's what we've been aiming for on our show is, and there are so many incredible teachers and healers and, you know, counselors and ministers out there sharing that message that our grief is nothing to be ashamed of. It's nothing that we have to hide. It's not anything that we can falsely speed up, but in fact, it's such an important part, as you said. This is how we grow. And while many aspects of it are deeply painful, and that's so important to me, that I'm never wanting to minimize those aspects of our stories. They are hard. It is deeply painful. And it's also such an important aspect of us becoming. So you have just really gone for it in your life. Did you have people kind of look at you kind of half-cocked, like, what are you doing, lady?
Oh, still, I have old friends from the fashion business find me on Facebook, and they said, you're a what?
Because I will tell you,
I was a hedonist in my early days in New York. I mean, you're talking to someone who's go to Studio 54 on a regular basis.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, but I'm so glad I had all that, you know?
Oh, sure.
Because you know, now, guess what? Nothing shocks me.
Right.
When people come for counseling, oh, really? That's all? No.
Right.
But it's sort of like, to me, the first part of my life was recapitulating all that I had maybe experienced as a young child and in my dreams. I was able to live my dreams. How many people can really say that? Not many.
Yeah.
I've been so blessed. Now I'm living a dream that is with God, with the divine. It's like, okay, so did you hear me? And then if something happens, oh, yeah, you did. Thank you. I think it's you know, we have to, it's a constant surrender. It's an idea of this is what I want, but is it what my soul needs?
Yeah. That it's a constant surrender to really listen to. I am so fascinated about the work of authenticity. And someone who's been a great mentor and teacher to me around that is my dear friend and colleague, Krista Oddi, who co-created the model of heart-centered grief. And when with me, and when we come back from our break, I want to explore with you, Rebecca, step 5 of the model of heart-centered grief, which is spiritual fortitude. Stay with us, friends. We'll be back.
This is the EWN Radio Network.
The 7 steps of grief and hope can be found at therespite.org on the Hope Is Now page. This is a video series that I had the honor and privilege of co-creating with my dear friend and colleague, Chris Saadi. This model, the model of heart-centered grief, is designed in 7 coaching sessions where you can stream or watch the DVD videos where Chris and I are coaching you through these incredibly powerful 7 steps to give you hope, and their practical ideas, creative ideas, to help you move through your grief journey in an inspired way, in a way with great dignity, and to support you through this difficult time in your life. Whatever your loss is, friend, the model of heart-centered grief is designed to empower you and encourage you on your journey.
Welcome back to Finding Hope. I am your host, Counselor Mandy Bird, and today I'm speaking with Reverend Rebecca Nagy. And before we went to break, I said that I wanted to share with you all and with Rebecca step 5 of the model of heart-centered grief that I had the privilege to co-create with Chris Saadi. And step 5 of the model is spiritual fortitude, which is all about encouraging us that when we are in the throes of our grieving, wherever we are in our stages of loss, that we are not alone. This step, Chris and I were very sensitive around not espousing or promoting any particular way to believe. We each have our own ways that we both passionately believe, but this is about helping people connect with the larger. And of course, you get to choose, friends, whatever it is that you passionately believe. And with your line of work, Rebecca, I'd love for you to share from your wisdom and teachings and experience of when we're grieving, about this whole idea of spiritual fortitude, that the divine grieves with us and through us, and that we're never alone. What are your thoughts?
Well, if I may share something that just happened this week. I do a lot of work, of course, at the end of life with people.
Yeah.
And to me, that is one of the most sacred times of our lives.
Yeah.
When we're leaving to go back to the light, just being in someone's presence is a blessing.
Mm-hmm.
And when I always grieve with the family, and I'm very empathetic, so I feel very deeply.
Yeah.
But what I have found when you're grieving, whether it's my own personal grief or being with other people in their grief process, is if you just let yourself go. go into the silence and feel the presence. I don't know what else to call it, but the presence.
Mm-hmm.
It's a sense of you are not alone. You need to open to that fact that even in those darkest nights, and I'm going to tell you, even as a minister, I still wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning and go, how am I going to pay my mortgage? How am I going
to?
And it's so, you know, we all, it's like nobody is immune, doesn't matter how strong your faith is.
Right.
And so for me, grieving is about finding, eventually, you don't do it in the next first 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
It may take really a lot of concentration and focus, but to just breathe into your heart and say, this is where my divinity center is. Please help me. And I always say, ask for help. You know, the angels, who, whatever your belief system is, whether it's angels or spiritual teachers or guides on the inner planes or just God, the divine, you need to allow yourself to realize that you cannot do it alone.
Mm-hmm.
And the invisible helpers that are with us love us so immensely that they come forth and put their hands on our shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
I've actually felt that. I have felt the hands. I have felt the presence. And one of the times this week when I was working with the family and I had my anointing oils and was blessing the body, and we were in a circle around the bed. And I could see each of them, bit by bit, start to get to that place. As I was talking them through the prayer and talking them through this thing I call Bridge of Light, where you build light in your heart to the light in somebody else's, and you come out on this bridge and you talk to them heart to heart, soul to soul. Because a lot of times you can't really say the words, but you can feel the emotion. And so that to me is how you're going through the grieving process, is to realize that even if you live alone or you feel alone, you're never alone. You just have to call out and say, be with me. Help me.
Yeah. Wow. That's so beautiful. That all we have to do is call out in our own way to know that we are not alone.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, you know, for many people that have suffered, you know, great violent tragedies and really traumatic, heinous crimes and are questioning, how could this have happened to my loved one? I mean, these are the kinds of things that, you know, our minds go to and people ask. And my response is always that I so humbly don't have the answers. I don't know why these things happen. And I think that it's so important that we learn to trust that there's a mystery in life. It's one of the things that has helped me a lot, is that there's a great mystery in life that I accept that I cannot understand. And that has helped me greatly.
And I think we don't need to understand it. We want to know why. We're the chronic 3-year-old. Why?
Yep.
But when we can get to a point realizing that, you know what, there's a higher plan and purpose for you, and if you just be still, let it go, it will unfold as it is meant to.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things I just talked about this past Sunday at service is the fact that it doesn't matter how old you are, nothing is wasted on what you learn and what you get to in an aha moment, because I believe it's in the continuity of the soul, insofar as at the end of each physical lifetime, we shed our body, go into our light body, and come back again, because God, the divine, will have us in the end, but they're not going to give one short lifetime to get it. You know, that's what love is about, is you just keep picking yourself up and trying again. And I really believe that, and I've done a lot of work with past lives and past life regressions, and I believe therein lies a key to the amazing magnanimity, that God is magnanimous,
mm-hmm.
that hey, you know, a loving parent, wouldn't you give your child another chance and another chance and another chance?
Mm-hmm.
You know? So, yeah, I think that's the hope. And you can, and that's how you pull yourself up. And you know what? Just like what you do, the beautiful work you do, if you can't do it by yourself, there are people like you and other people that will say, hey, let me give you a hand and walk you through it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think we all deserve that. I think we all, every single human being, I believe, deserves the opportunity to receive big, great support when they're grieving. And I know that, you know, one of the things that grief does when the pain is so great, it tricks us into turning on ourselves. And why is it taking me so long? And why am I hurting so deeply? And what's wrong with me that I'm in this much pain? People, especially in the American culture, because we're so used to, we're supposed to do everything so quickly. And grief is a human process. It has its own life, its own time. And it's so important, I know for myself, that I have reached out to people that mentor me and encourage me and support me through the process so that I remain on my own side. And that is so important, and why we wanted spiritual fortitude to be a part of our model, that there is a great power in the universe, and I adore calling it, as Star Wars has come back around, the Force. I just, I mean, oh my gosh, that makes me think of mine and Cindy's dear friend Casey Robertson. I mean, 20 years ago, Casey was still saying, may the Force be with you. And I just love it.
Come to Sunday.
Yeah.
I say it every Sunday.
Yeah, I love it. I just love it. So Rebecca, tell us more about your work, how people can find you, and about the book that you're writing.
Well, let me tell you about the work for first. The new website is slcofcharlotte.org. like Spiritual Light Center of Charlotte, .org. And we're in the university area, and I do a Sunday, what I call a message and meditation service. I don't really consider myself a preacher. I consider myself a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
So I really like to have these interactive, what do you think about that kind of Sundays. You know, I will pick a lot of different ideas from a lot of different scriptures, or even a motivational book like a Wayne Dyer or Marianne Williamson. So that is really what I like to do on Sundays, and then we meditate. Half of the service is talking, and half of the service is going within.
Mm.
And then we teach classes all throughout the week, and we have healing circles. And I mean, it's a beautiful center. We've got 3.5 acres, and we're rebuilding. I think the first Sunday I was there, we had like 8 people, and now we're hovering around 35 or 40, which, mm-hmm. you know, that's nice because I know everybody's name.
Right.
And the book that I've been working on for a while is the working title, and I'll probably keep it. It's called Stumbling Along the Path, The Annals of an Errant Disciple. And it's exactly what we've been talking about. You stumble, you pick yourself up, you brush yourself off, and you keep going. And it's sort of my journey from, like you were saying earlier, from fashion to faith. You know, how did I do that? And I've kind of modeled it on my love of shoes that I can't wear anymore. So each chapter is a shoe that depicts a part of my life, like the years in seminary is the only one that doesn't have a shoe. It's called barefoot on holy grounds.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, my years in New York City are called running shoes, and there's all these shoes that each part. So, and I think, you know, that idea of if the shoe fits, sometimes it doesn't, and you have to realize when to give them away.
Mm-hmm.
And I literally did that the day I came home after leaving that one job I was talking about, and looking in my closet and seeing I actually had all my shoes in those little cubbyhole things that you can buy for shoes.
Mm-hmm.
And each one of them had a story because they were bought in Europe somewhere or Hong Kong somewhere. And I thought, okay, that's not your life anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You need to give these shoes away. You're not never going to be able to wear them again anyway. So they all went plunkety-plunk into boxes and went to the woman's shelter.
Mm.
And with it, that life, that door was closed, and I allowed the new one to crack open a little bit and begin to open on its own.
Mm.
So that's what my book is about, and I'm writing it insofar as a little bit of story and a lot of experiential, like exercises to do and insights to get and these kind of things, because I don't believe if you tell somebody how to do something, they're going to be able to do it. You have to show them how to do it.
Oh, yeah. Rebecca, thank you so much for sharing with us about the book that you're putting together. It's going to be so incredible, helping people around practical experiential exercises to move through their own stories. I think it's so creative. Stay with us, friends. When we come back, Reverend Rebecca Nagy and I will be speaking about Shift Charlotte. Stay with us. We'll be back.
Hi, I'm Sandra Yancey, founder and CEO of eWomen Network. One of my mottos for business owners is, you can't do it alone. Whether you're in the startup stage of your business or you're scaling, you can't grow without relationships to provide support, wisdom, and new customers. eWomen Network is your home to connect with other women entrepreneurs who've been where you are or are experiencing the same challenges. We have chapters across the U.S. and Canada that have monthly events featuring our trademarked process called Accelerated Networking to ensure you get the contacts, resources, and leads you need to grow your business. And once you become a member, you get many benefits, including 2 one-on-one coaching sessions, unlimited access to our membership database, your own personal profile page, and discounts on products and services with our business partners such as UPS and American Express Open. Join the eWomen Network community and let us help you live your dream. For details, visit eWomenNetwork.com.
Counselor Mandy would like to offer you a free gift. As you've heard on her show, Finding Hope, she and Chris Saadi co-created the 7 Steps of Grief and Hope. She would like for you to have a free recording that includes an introduction to the 7 Steps and takes a deep dive into Step 4, Paradox. In this recording, Chris and Mandy talk about how important it is to honor the grief journey. After listening to this recording, you will understand the importance of viewing your grief paradoxically, feel supported that you're not alone, and be inspired about how your grief can help others. To download this free recording, visit therespite.org. Just scroll down on the homepage to where it says, "Hear about the transformational 7 steps of grief and hope," and click the Get Access button. It's that easy. Mandy's passion in life is helping people see that the losses in their life have meaning. We hope you'll accept this free gift from her. Again, visit therespite.org to get your free recording.
Welcome back to Finding Hope. I'm your host, Counselor Mandy Bird, and we are speaking with Reverend Rebecca Nagy. And Rebecca and I have both the honors of being speakers at Shift Charlotte this year, which is March 19th. It's a Saturday. And we are so thrilled. And just, I want to make sure that we give a big shout out to Lori Ives Godwin. Lori is a very dynamic, visionary woman who, I just love her story. She came from the corporate world and has her own story. We have interviewed her past on our former show, Hope Is Now. And Lori decided that she wanted to bring together all types of alternative healers and put together an expo. So this show is going to have 6 speakers plus the featured speaker and vendor tables, and we hope that you all will come join us. So, Rebecca, would you share with our listening friends what you're going to be teaching at Shift?
Sure. Thank you for the opportunity. First, I also want to give a shout-out to Lori. She has just done so much for this community, and I honor her and value her so much as a precious being of light.
Yeah.
my topic is Dream State University, and the reason I am so into dreams is just what we were talking about, the idea that dreams change and evolve, and you can actually get direction. If you don't get direction with your outer world, you could actually go to what I call another level of your consciousness, which is our dream state. And it is indeed a university. It is a school of higher learning that, you know, gosh, the Bible certainly talks about how dreams affected the evolution of that tradition. And other sacred scriptures talk about dreams as well, as the way God can actually, or the divine, speak to us. And I really got into the study of them when I was in seminary, because it was a required course. And it also, when I was, it was time for me to graduate and make the decision, am I going to be ordained or not? I was told to go home and meditate. Well, instead, I had a dream that was very, very important and very explicit. Yes, you need to go ahead and be ordained. And I think a lot of us get dreams that we may not understand, because our soul talks in symbology, and it talks in a symbology that we give it to communicate. Like, I love numerology and astrology and the chakras. I'm a Reiki master. All of these are languages that my soul can use in my dream work to communicate. And so I like to open people up to the possibility that they do have guidance, and it's very explicit, but you have to see what the symbols mean for you, and keep make your own dream dictionary. Don't go out and buy 1,000 dream dictionaries. That is so important, I think, as we learn to understand that our inner life is another level of consciousness.
Wow. And how much, it sounds like what you're saying, how much wisdom we can gather, that there's information that we can use there to be in communication with our higher self.
Well, and you know, it's really interesting about that is we eventually, if we really focus on developing that ability, that opening of the third eye, if you will, seeing with the eye that cannot see, we have everything we need to know. We don't really have to read a book to get it. We can read our own book that we, our soul, has written. Mm-hmm. And that's what, to me, what dreams open us to, mm-hmm. is that book.
Mm-hmm.
The book of life, shall we say.
Yeah. Wow. That is exciting. So, friends, remember, you can learn more about Rebecca's work. Rebecca, will you share your website again?
Yes, it's SLC. That's the initial Spiritual Light Center, slcofcharlotte.org.
Oh, wow, that's wonderful. And you can also meet Rebecca in person at Shift Charlotte on Saturday, March 19th. I am so thrilled to be one of the speakers as well, and I want you all to know what I'm going to share with you briefly today, what I'm going to be speaking about. And the title of my speaking is, I just can't even believe I'm getting ready to teach these tools, but it's Your Personal Toolkit for the Paradox of Life. And I'm putting together tools that I'm going to teach in a very creative way. I have my dear friends Barry Sherman and Cindy Bolero joining me to bring music. And it's going to be a really incredible, dynamic way to teach these tools to help you all learn and absorb them. So we'll be doing a variety of ways to help us take these tools in and remember them. The four tools that I'm picking, and I'm not going to tell you what they are, but they're all about helping us manifest what we long for in our lives, what we need to get out of the way, and really how to be in a more loving, strong relationship with our own authentic being. So I'm super, I can't even tell you. I've been thinking about it, dreaming about it, And we're putting together a toolkit that we're going to give to each of the attendees to the talk. So you'll be taking something with you that you'll be able to use moving forward. The other thing that I want to make sure that I share with you all is how you can find the model of heart-centered grief, and that is at therespite.org. If you're interested in the 7 steps of grief and hope, we were fortunate to put together a 7-step DVD series that has Chris and I actually looking at the camera as though we're personally coaching you and guiding you through the 7 steps of grief and hope. And if you'd like to come to Shift Charlotte to meet Rebecca or to meet me, which would be so awesome, you can find out all the information at www.shiftcharlotte.com. So, Rebecca, for our time together today, what would you like to offer our listening friends around your heart's wisdom? What stays with you often that you love to share with people?
One of the things I love to say is allow yourself to open to your own truth. Don't allow others to spoon feed their essence of truth to you.
Mm-hmm.
That's being authentic.
Mm-hmm. So take the time to find your own truth.
Right.
To trust it, that it's yours and only yours. And I think that's so important. I know that's been so important to me as a deeply spiritual and even religious person, that it's been so important for me to sift through what I was taught versus what resonates within me and with my own being, and to trust that.
Mm-hmm.
And how free, I can tell you, my own personal spirituality today looks so different than it did 5 years ago, even 15 years ago. And it continues to evolve. And having that freedom is amazing, because life experiences continue to happen to us that we digest and have to sift through, and awakens different parts of us. Don't you find that to be true?
I do, and you made such a good point, because you will maybe experience some truth on one path or in one area of expertise, and then you might be done with it and allow yourself to go on and explore the next path and the next. I always tell people when they come to me as a spiritual teacher, I'm right for you perhaps for now, but maybe then you'll need another area to study or another teacher to study with.
Mm-hmm.
So let yourself be open to that. And I know I have been. I've had several spiritual teachers as my yodas, so to speak. And it's funny, just real quick, I actually did a paper in seminary on the Force.
Oh, I love it. That's awesome.
I'm a big Star Wars fan.
That's so great. Rebecca, thank you for your time today. And we are just so looking forward to that day together, and hope you guys will come out. Thank you for sharing your heart with us today, Rebecca, and your wisdom.
And thank you for doing the same, Mandy. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. So you guys, hey, next week is our last show of Finding Hope. So please tell all of your friends, your colleagues, share our show. People will be able to continue to download all 26 shows and use them for teaching, for inspiration. We're so honored to have been able to share all this incredible wisdom. Stay with us and come back with us next week. Thank you so much. You guys have a great, great, great day. Take good care. See you next time on Finding Hope.
Look ahead to the all aflame and she rises. From our wounds come a future alive and yearning. We gotta keep the fire.